The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Benson. I'm your host. This is the Monday Night Football Recap. It is Monday, a few more minutes, November 29th. If you're watching on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, and you have about 11 minutes to take advantage of our Black Friday Cyber Monday sale. There's a QR code right by Ryan Wilson's beautiful bald head, and you can scan it with your phone. It'll take you right there, and you can purchase Pick Six gear 25% off. Go do it now. Look at the hoodie John Breach is wearing. It is incredibly comfortable.
So comfortable.
Yes.
If it wasn't white, I would sleep in it, but I'd sweat through it, so I can't sleep in it.
I thought you just had like a Pick Six decal on because you're pretty pasty. I didn't think you had a shirt on.
Oh, you thought I was naked?
Pick Six podcast.
Yeah.
You guys actually shop on Black Monday or Cyber Monday?
If I told you how much money my wife spent on Cyber Monday, you wouldn't even believe it.
What did she get?
Oh my God.
I don't even want to talk about it. I get her so upset.
She didn't buy the Christmas card. She never does it. She always forgets to do it on Cyber
every
Monday.
Single present we had to buy for someone got bought today.
Good for you.
That's good. Yeah, I'm terrible at buying presents.
She sends me a list. She's very on the ball when it comes to getting Christmas shopping done.
Oh, she lets you know all the Black Friday deals she makes?
She'll let me know on Friday morning, so that way if they show up on Friday, Black Friday, or Cyber Monday, we can snag them so they'll be cheap.
So I will say that it's not a bad idea to go, too, after you get done purchasing your Pick Six podcast stuff. You can get, like, these Amazon Fire Sticks for, like, $20. Nice to have, you know.
Wait, what? So I'm playing the what's the last thing I got on Amazon? My wife ordered an inflatable lounge air sofa hammock for the water. We don't have a pool. What are we doing?
Do you have a bathtub?
Maybe it's for her secret family.
You set up the chair around a bathtub.
As long as there's not more junk in my house, I'm okay with it going to the secret family. As long as they don't come over, I have no issue with that.
Tell my secret family not to come over.
Yeah, they can have send all the crap over there. All right.
All the inflatable chairs go to Ryan's secret family.
I mean, what are we doing with that thing? All right.
I can't wait. You need to record the conversation when you ask her about it.
Anywho, 17-15, Washington takes down Seattle. Seahawks fall to 3-8. Washington now 5-6 back in the playoff mix with multiple divisional games coming up. The NFC East has an appearance that could get pretty spicy down the stretch here. And Mike McCarthy apparently kind of sweating his job. Maybe we can get into that a little bit.
Oh,
I thought Taylor Heinicke was really good in this game. Considering how early he was pressured. Also, hit the like button. We're going to give away a Brinson Sucks hat if we get to a certain number. So smash the like button, Brinson Sucks hat. Don't even have to buy it. So the WFTs just absolutely took the air out of the ball and pounded the football down Seattle's throat. Antonio Gibson, 29 carries, 111 yards. That is ridiculous. Taylor Heinicke actually didn't run a whole lot. Gibson also caught 7 plays for 35 yards. We thought he was going to run some. We had that over prop as part of our podcast preview.
What was the over?
18.5. He was going to get there, and then there was a holding call. Tyler Lockett paved the way for the Seahawks with 3 catches for 96 yards, all of them in the first half.
I heard
Wilson 20 of 31, 247 yards and 2 touchdowns. That stat line really, frankly, belies how he played. He was not.
If you take off the final drive where he led the touchdown drive on the Freddie Swain 32-yard touchdown with no one covering him, then he looked a lot more like Geno Smith than he did Russell Wilson.
It was a little surprising they didn't go to Geno Smith, to be perfectly honest.
I mean, it's a half dozen of one.
I guess Russell wasn't accurate. His finger, his hand, he's clearly not there.
That's 3 straight weeks where he hasn't been accurate. He's been erratic. The ball isn't going where he wants it. I don't even know how he completed that touchdown to Freddie Swain. That was more impressive based on how he played earlier in the game when it looked like there isn't a chance he could complete a throw like that. I mean, It was, he just hasn't been good the past 3 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anyone's worried long-term. It's just a matter of him coming back too soon. And Brinson, you mentioned it either yesterday or earlier in the week, that if the Cardinals were not where they are and they were in the thick of this thing, that we might have seen Kyler Murray sooner. So, but luckily they have a backup they trust in Colt McCoy, who I believe went 2-1 in his three starts. And now they're on their bye. They'll get Kyler back and they'll be fine. Whereas Russ had to be rushed back out there because they didn't play well early. Geno Smith struggled after that first game where he came in and almost led them to victory and didn't. And then that's why they're now 3-8.
You're playing. And what does hindsight say now? It says, hey, you could have played Geno Smith these 3 weeks, let Russell Wilson's hand recover, and you would have been 3-8 anyway. Maybe Geno actually wins one of these past three games. I just think Russell rushed back and, you know, now their season's down the toilet.
So here's the thing. Even if let's say your theory plays out their breach and Geno plays and they win the game and now they're 4-7. Does it matter?
I think it matters if they're 4-7 with Russell Wilson, who just had an extra month to heal coming in for the end of the season. Right. Cause then I think it makes it, 9-8 becomes possible with a 100% healthy Russell Wilson.
So, we don't know if he's going to be 100% because his fingers still look pretty terrible on Monday night. Jen Silvis in the chat asked, do they shut Russ down now that the season's over. We can say what you want to say. They can win out and go 9-8, but let's be real.
Season is probably over. I mean, they could win out. Yes, they could win out. I don't think they'll shut Russ down because of the chances that they could win out are still there.
I don't think he would let them shut him down.
Correct. Exactly. That was if they shut Russ down, he would demand a trade.
He would quit the team on the spot.
He would say, trade me this offseason. I'm out.
What if they threaten to trade him to Pittsburgh? Then I bet he'll just sit down and be very quiet.
What? He's like, we're going to trade you to Pittsburgh? And he's like, yeah, see ya.
Are you trying to will that into existence, Ryan?
Yes.
Pittsburgh's a playoff team with Russ.
I guess. I got a lot of feelings about that. let me ask you something else. Actually, we can keep talking about the Seahawks. I have a football team question when we get there.
Okay. They're not going to shut them down. But this team, the problem with this team, frankly, comes back. It's not so much about, Russ getting hurt. It's they haven't drafted well in years. No. Their drafts have been a disaster. They trade away all their picks. And they haven't selected a bunch of high quality players. You go up and down their roster and you really start to see a picture of a team that is, in terms of what I called the other day, ascending assets. In other words, I'm not going to call Jamal Adams an ascending asset.
Cost too much.
He costs too much. You traded first round picks for him. They don't have.
So sorry to interrupt you, but Debo has this up on the if you're watching on YouTube, the recent drafts. So they didn't have a first round pick because of Jamal Adams in 2021. Jordan Brooks was a surprise first rounder. There's some late buzz that he might go in first round. I think he's been okay. Darrell Taylor's actually played relatively well. He leads the team in sacks, so that's good. But LJ Collier in 2019 was a huge shock as an edge rusher. He's not really an edge guy, and he doesn't even play now. And then before that, Rashad Penny went in the first round as a running back, and everyone was like, what are you doing? Rashad Penny can't even. I don't know if he's healthy now, but when he is healthy, he can't even get on the field. So to your point, Brinson, there have been a lot of
Rashad Penny's is going to be cut this offseason, almost certainly. Scroll down to 2018. That was Penny, right?
Did he say play?
Penny in the first round. And I'm trying to think.
Rashawn Green, who scored the 2-point conversion. So that worked out. But he actually Will Disley, who I don't think is any longer with the team. Shaq Griffin.
He called a pass tonight.
Oh, Disley did. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, there are some players on that. I mean, Michael Dixon's been a nice, really good punter. Sweet. There's some players in that 2018 draft, but for the most part, it's just the Seahawks have whiffed on these.
They traded up to get Michael Dixon.
Imagine that.
They selected.
Here's the thing. You have to hit on every first round pick, and there's no exceptions. And you look across the NFL. Really good teams, and I mean, I'll just say it. The Steelers always hit on first-round picks. The Patriots.
I think they Rashad Penny over Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But
what were the other non-running backs that went in between those two guys? That's
Lamar Jackson?
I don't know if you need Lamar, but what else?
Darius Leonard.
Yes, I mean, that there.
Will Boom. Hernandez, Austin Corbett, Braden Smith.
The Rashad Penny pick was one that people were like, what the hell was going on when it happened? Yeah. That was like that got questioned right away.
Yes. It was a weird pick. They just haven't drafted very well. And they didn't replace their defense.
No, that was a huge problem.
Yeah. I mean, they simply haven't drafted very well. Yeah. As Molly points out, we don't like to talk about the penny pick. I mean,
a penny for your thoughts.
Sorry,
guys. I mean, Rashad Penny is flash. He just hadn't stayed healthy, but they didn't need to draft a running back in the first round. There.
It doesn't matter if he's flash or not.
I think mostly what happened is they win the Super Bowl. They go back to the next Super Bowl. And then the Legion of Boom starts to sort of fall apart. And they haven't adjusted to what a more modern style of football, allowing Russ to be Russ.
One of the issues, sorry to interrupt, is that when these quarterbacks come off their rookie deals.
Sorry for interrupting. Just interrupting.
When these quarterbacks come off their rookie deals, then you have to start reallocating money much in a much smarter way. And we've seen that happen around the league. It's not just their fault. But Russ was on that rookie deal when I joked earlier in the pre-show about throwing an interception in the end zone. And then you got to start paying him, and you can't pay other guys. And I think that's why the defense fell apart. And that's, you know, that in addition to not making great early round picks has them in their current situation.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't reboot their defense. And so you can't be this team that operates like you're the Legion of Boom with Rush and Marshawn Lynch when you don't really have a run game, you don't have a great offensive line, and you also don't have a defense. It's just a problem.
Other than that, you got to have something, yeah.
I mean, they just have Russ. And now Russ is very clearly off his game because, as we've talked about on this podcast and told people, and if you should have been fading the Seahawks the last 3 weeks, Russ... you can tell the ball is not coming off of his hands. He doesn't have the accuracy. He doesn't have the ball placement that he's had his entire career. This is a major injury. Brady Quinn detailed it several weeks in a row on this pod, and it's clearly affecting him. He's not healthy, and we don't know. Now, it's probably going to, at some point, click, but it's probably going to be too late in the season for it to matter.
It's already too late in the season.
Yeah, correct. It's way too late.
Seahawks rushed for 34 yards. That was their third lowest total in Russell Wilson's career, which started in 2012.
But, like, the offense is a problem, but the defense is a bigger problem because of how they want to play football. You can't
yeah, run. Yeah, but if the offense is clicking, then the defense can be a problem. But the offense is not doing anything because I contend that every defense is bad this year. Like, there's no defense that you're like, all right, they're going to shut down whoever you're playing if they're playing a good team.
Yeah, there's like just generally not elite defenses anymore.
Yeah, who's the best
defense? Pats, maybe.
Right. I mean, yeah. And they're
not shutting you down. They're bend but don't break. Classic right. Pass defense. Russ is in his own head right now with how he's throwing the football. I mean, he's, you know, he wasn't running. Like, he wasn't doing instinctual stuff that he normally does. He had two carries for 16 yards, and that was one of those. And then one of them, he's like diving across for a first down onto his busted hand.
He got desperate because that was their first down in the second half after they went three and out five straight times.
Yeah. And that 216, that led the team in rushing.
Terrible.
You mentioned his passing yards at 247. 86 of those came on the final drive. So before that final drive started, he only had 161.
That's not good.
This is an interesting thought from Mark Humes in the chat. Seahawks need to offer to trade Russ to get back assets, offering to the Eagles for Hurts and picks, probably a win for both teams. Debo, would you do that deal?
What kind of picks are we talking?
Three first rounders?
Nope.
Two first rounders.
Yeah. Nope. Two first rounders and Jalen Hurts. No. Brinson, would you do two first rounders? The two bottom first rounders. I think we're like 9th and 15th. 9th, 15th.
For Russ?
And Jalen Hurts for Russ.
Russ is 33. Happy birthday, Russ. That was his birthday. Monday was his birthday. Not a good birthday.
Would you do that, Breach? 9th, 15th, and Jalen Hurts for Russ Wilson if you're the Eagles?
I would give up a first round pick in 2022 and one in 2023. I wouldn't give up both this year.
What about that, Debo? The 15th pick in 2022. Two and then a first rounder in 2023.
I can get behind that.
Okay.
Because at least you can think, hey, we'll be good in 2022. Hopefully that 2023 pick will be way in the back because we'll make the playoffs. And then you don't feel as bad giving it up.
Actually, I've been thinking about this a lot because every week I do these mock drafts. If you draft a quarterback and you're a terrible football team, every other pick after that and every pick at free agency should be the offensive line. We sort of talked about that last thing. You have to have an offensive line. So the Eagles' offensive line actually isn't terrible. But if they felt like it needed to be improved, I would trade for Russ and use the two of the first rounders and first round picks. I mean, an offensive lineman. Wherever you go, you need to have offensive lineman, because without it, it doesn't matter who your quarterback is.
I think the bigger question is what is going to happen with Pete Carroll, because if Russell Wilson's leaving, again, he's 70 years old. And
Notre Dame.
You don't want to rebuild at 70.
Well, I think that this offseason, so Pete Carroll went out and got, and John Schneider got Shane Waldron as the new OC.
Yeah.
But Pete Carroll basically is not, unless Shane Waldron is, this is his doing. Right. I mean, maybe it's, maybe everything he said.
They're still not going for it on fourth down. They're still conservative. You're losing on those plays. Those plays are costing you field position, possessions, and ultimately games. So
I've long been a Pete Carroll defender, but it is hard to defend him right now because of what they're doing on offense. Like, he brought in a new offensive coordinator who said they were going to run tempo, and they don't do it. They're the only team in the NFL, I believe, with two games or less of 60 plays or less. In other words, they just don't, you are not getting plays for Russell Wilson. And a lot of those plays are runs on first down with Alex Collins and everyone knows you're doing it. So the problem, though, is that Jody Allen is the owner. And we don't, the late Paul Allen's wife. We don't.
Sister.
We don't know.
Sister.
Sister. Sorry. That's right. My bad. I was thinking I got an ownership thing confused. We just don't know how she would handle Russ coming to ownership, because that's what you'd have to do, I think, and saying, because I don't think you can go to John Schneider and say it's either me or Pete. I think you have to go to ownership and say it's either me or Pete, or me or Pete and John. I don't know how this would all play out, but I think ultimately that if you have a newish owner like that, they would tend to side with the people that they work closely with in the structural organization part of the football. Like, they're going to probably side with the front office, right? And say, what do we do here? And the front office would be like, well, you should definitely fire us. So, I mean, it feels like a Russell Wilson trade is coming.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, well, it's funny because look, you're the owner. The owner is going to have final say whether Russell Wilson gets traded. John Schneider can work out a deal, but that's something where the owner is going to have to green light it. And they're going to have to say, okay, yeah, you can pull the trigger on that and get rid of our star player. And we don't know anything about her as far as, what she wants from the team, besides obviously, you want to win a Super Bowl. Maybe she doesn't want Pete Carroll there anymore. Like, we literally have no idea. And so that definitely adds a mystery element to.
Let me ask you this, Brenton and or Breach. If she says to Pete, listen, I want you to stay around, but you have to start going for a fourth down. You have to change the way fundamentally that you coach in these conservative situations. If you're Pete Carroll, what are you saying? As a 70-year-old who's had a lot of success.
I don't think she's.
No, but just for the sake of argument, that's what she says to him. What is Pete Carroll saying?
I mean, I think you're like, all due respect, Jody. I've won a Super Bowl and multiple national championships.
I think that's right.
I think I'll do the play calling and the decision making.
I think you're exactly right.
And then that's where you'd have been the she fires Pete.
Or breach notes, he just moonwalks out of the room and he goes on to whatever he's got next lined up.
I mean, I feel like Pete has a lot of power in Seattle still, even with the way he's coaching.
But why?
Because he's been there forever and he won a Super Bowl. Like, what has he done to lose power?
People are talking about firing Mike Tomlin. I don't think Pete Carroll's untouchable. Who's
talking about firing Mike Tomlin?
Oh, Steelers fans are talking about that every week. No,
fans don't matter. I mean, fans matter, obviously. I know what we mean, like, fans don't matter. Fans don't matter when it comes to
like, what happens to the organization. For the fans, my God.
If the fans matter.
We need to clip it. Clip Brinson saying fans don't matter.
Go Heels.
If the fans mattered. How about Friday night, maybe? Go Tar Heels. If the fans mattered, then the Detroit Lions would be good. But they're not.
Well, they fired Jim Caldwell, who, as you might have heard, went 97 back-to-back years and got fired.
All right.
Can I just note that a lot of Pete on a first-name basis was used in that conversation? Just want to bring that up.
Thank you. Yeah, take that, Brenton.
Well, hold on. The rules change when it's someone who has two first names. So, right. If you have a first name as a last name, then that is often you
How
use
many
their
Carols
first name.
Do you know?
Actually, the Seahawks.
Have you ever watched a Hallmark Christmas movie? Literally every character is named Carol.
Christmas Carol.
Exactly.
It's our last name.
And we don't want people to be confused about whether they're listening to a Hallmark Christmas Carol podcast or a football podcast.
Also, Brian, it's Jody Carol Allen. So, you know, you don't want anybody to be confused.
Is it really? That was believable.
I was like desperately hoping there would be a Carol in the front office of the Seahawks. So we'd be like, we didn't want to get confused with Carol Carter, VP of Human Resources for the Seahawks.
Just saying, I don't want to take us away on this tangent. We should get to this break, but just wanted to note that.
There's a Karen in the front office.
By the way, do you know Archie Bunker's real name? Carol O'Connor.
Do you know where Chargers coach Brandon Staley went to college? John Carroll.
More Carroll. Or John, as you call it.
That's true.
All right. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the team that actually won the game, the Washington football team.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Washington football team put themselves back in the conversation for the playoffs. Sort of.
Not even just the conversation. They're in the number seven seed right now.
They are the seventh seed. Hello. There we go.
They're 4 spots ahead of Debo's
team. They are the conversation.
Wow. I don't think I realized that. Obviously didn't realize that.
Knocked out your Minnesota Vikings.
What a plot twist that is.
And frankly, it's a plot twist because that is one team we have not mentioned at all. We literally spent time Sunday night talking about which NFC team had the best chance of getting into that seventh spot. Obviously mentioned the Vikings. We went down the list. We named the Eagles. We named the Falcons. We named the Saints. We even named the Panthers. We did not name Washington.
And by the way, Breach, they are 5-2 in the NFC, which is why they bumped the Vikings who were 4-3.
And what does that mean? They're 0-4 against AFC teams.
They're also 3-0 coming out of their bye, and
Ron Rivera
is an Andy Reid disciple. There you go. So coming into the bye, they held the Packers to 24 points. Remember, they had the worst passing defense in all football, and they weren't great on Monday night. They gave up some big passes. Shout out to the offense for carrying them. But 24 points to the Packers, 17 points to the Broncos, 19 points to Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, 21 to Carolina on the road in a massive game that, you know, everyone was pumped up for. And then, of course, they held the Seahawks to 15. They're not a pretty team. This is very much a Ron Rivera sort of squad that is overachieving with the defense coming together. I think the defense is just it's playing better now. It's weird because Chase Young is hurt.
Can't play worse.
But, I mean, yeah, you can't play worse. But the defense is improved over the last month and a half. And we see this with teams sometimes where, you know, the defense takes a little while to come together. Washington has the Raiders up next at the Raiders on Sunday. And then Dallas at Philly, at Dallas, Philly at New York. All due respect to Mike McCarthy, to Jalen Hurts, to Nick Sirianni. Those are winnable games.
This actually works out well for me because I had Washington winning the division back in August.
I got a bet on it. Let's go get it.
So let me put this out there, and then I want to hear your Mike McCarthy rumor, which I haven't heard yet about him being in the hot seat. Would you rather have, so Washington replaced Minnesota as the seventh team. Minnesota's now eighth. Would you rather have Taylor Heinicke or Kirk Cousins to play out the rest of your season to get you to the playoffs?
I think Kirk Cousins, but Taylor Heinicke's playing well.
Breach.
I think Kirk Cousins is more talented and more polished, but I know what my ceiling is with Kirk Cousins. We almost saw Taylor Heinicke just go out and beat the Buccaneers in the playoffs last year. He was the only one that even played well against them. He beat them. He's a wild card. And so I think you at least have a chance at a win in the playoffs with Heinicke. I don't think you have with Cousins just because Cousins is what he is.
History says you don't have. I'm with you. I'm with Heinicke. Because if nothing else, Heinicke can go crazy one day and just go off. Also, Heinicke, you can't tackle him behind the line of scrimmage, apparently. He's incredibly elusive, whereas Kirk Cousins is just asking to get hit and sacked, and that seems to be and make bad plays down the stretch. What do we
Washington
got here?
Has leapfrogged the Philadelphia Eagles.
Good boy, Debo.
9-1 is kind of interesting with that, with two games, because you're two games back of Dallas.
What do you like better, 9-1 or 14-1 with Debo's Eagles?
I like 9-1 with the team that's currently in second place.
Yeah.
But they
the Eagles have their bye. That's right. They're another game in MetLife Stadium against the Jets, and then their bye. I think I would rather have Washington because the Eagles only have one game remaining against the Cowboys. They lost the first one at Dallas. And if you're trying to catch Dallas, you know, you, even though they're a better, theoretically a better team, you need the games against Dallas because you can guarantee yourself a full game in the standings by beating the Cowboys.
Well, and the ugly part for the Eagles, they don't really have any margin for error, at least when it comes to winning the division, because they're 0-2 in the division right now.
Right.
So if you lose just one of those last four, you're 3-3 best case scenario. And that just puts you on the outside looking in as far as all those tiebreakers go. Whereas you have Washington and the Cowboys, who are both undefeated in the division right now. You know, if Washington, man, Washington went 4-2 in the division last year. They're 1-0 this year. You have five straight games to close the season. And I mean,
three on the road.
But if you go 4-1 there, you feel pretty good about your chances of winning the division. Just, I mean,
you
the Raiders
4-1 in your final five division games. Yeah, you feel pretty good.
They went 4-5-0 in the division. They're 5-2 in their last seven division games.
If Washington closes 6-0, there's a path to the playoffs.
Nobody's saying that.
What is the Mike McCarthy angle that you have?
Oh, so did you see what? Let's see. Wait, did you see what?
You got COVID. I know that.
Yeah, so he's got COVID. So he's not coaching on Thursday. Did you see what he called Dan Quinn when he spoke with USA Today? What? Have you not seen this?
I thought you tweeted, but I just
wouldn't call him the interim coach, right?
From Jory Epstein of USA Today, who covers the Cowboys there. Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn. This is what Mike McCarthy confirmed to USA Today. Dan Quinn will be, quote, the point person for the decision-making process, end quote. What are we doing? He won't call him the interim coach. And so I went back and listened to his interview on 105.3 The Fan from Monday morning, and he is so – one, he's very sullen and not
– Did he have COVID? Did we know he had COVID Monday morning by that time when you heard the interview or not yet?
No, here's the thing is we did. It was actually reported – Sunday, and for some reason, because football was happening, it just blew over. He was put on the COVID list on Sunday, and it wasn't. Yeah. It didn't come out until today.
So what did he say?
It was weird. They sort of didn't talk about it a ton. They didn't talk about Dan. I don't think it was with the Shannon RJ show. I don't think they asked him who would be calling the plays. I may have missed that part of the interview, but like the whole, they were what do you do? Like self-evaluation here, you know, do you have to look like these questions that are you wouldn't ask to a 7-4 head coach who's in first place in the division. It was like
a Wade Phillips, Jason Garrett situation. That's his concern.
Some people think that will happen with Kellen Moore, but the other thing is, I was like, they're like, you know, they've lost 3 of 4 and the three losses have been ugly. Raiders at home on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
The Chiefs held them to, 9 points?
I'm dumb. Everybody but McCarthy was put on Sunday. McCarthy was today.
Okay.
So they had four guys put on yesterday. Terrence Steele, the right tackle, was one of them. Philbin and a couple other assistant coaches. Oh, and McCarthy was today.
Right,
just to clarify.
And so they lost 3 of 4. I think there must be some heat being turned up. And the reason why you don't call Dan Quinn interim head coach is that team goes out and dominates with Dan Quinn. People are gonna be like, "Whoa, is the wrong?"
They're gonna
guy
say that anyway. Doesn't matter.
It's weird that he didn't call him the interim head coach.
That is weird, but it doesn't matter. You can call him, you call him Uncle Rico if you want. If he wins 55-0, you're still like, hey, maybe this or guy.
You can just say,
you can call him Captain Fart Sniffer.
He could have just said, football team, "Hey, Dan's going to be coaching the team this week." Like, he doesn't even have to put a label on it. Just calling him the point man is just weird. It's like you're going out of your way to not put like ideas in Jerry Jones's head that you need to be replaced.
He's the point person for the decision making process. And then it was like, but Mike McCarthy, I think it was like Mike McCarthy will be on Zoom calls up until the second the football is kicked off. It's like, what are you doing? What are we talking about?
Although all last year I was wondering if Mike McCarthy was in the hot seat, and then Jerry Jones had to keep answering questions about how he's going to be back next year being this year, of course. And they did better with Dak Prescott, not surprisingly, but I've never been sold on Mike McCarthy as an answer, even after he spent the year, walking the earth looking for football analytics.
At PFF.
Well, and the thing about this Thursday game is that you have Dan Quinn, a defensive mind. So he is not even going to pay an iota of attention. He's like, Kellen Moore, just do whatever you want, man. Call your game.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like looking over your shoulder. That's I'm not concern. Mike McCarthy. And so if the Cowboys go out and put up 40 points with McCarthy out, definitely that's where you get a little worried. Fire
kissing Susie Colbert again. And we need to because it used to be like Jason Garrett would pop in and be like, hey, Jerry.
Right. This is where Wade Phillips
that up again.
Yeah, where Wade Phillips got Jason Garrett. We're going to see McCarthy get moored.
I mean, so yeah, I don't know. The point person thing threw me off. I was like, what? Why did he call him a point person? He's just the coach. He's just coaching. He's your defensive coordinator. Now he's the interim head coach. He's coaching the team. There's so many. And here's the thing. If the Cowboys were to, and I don't think the Cowboys will miss the playoffs, right?
Good Lord. No, that would be something.
That would be something.
I mean,
if the Cowboys were to lose the division.
3 weeks ago, it was impossible. They're going to miss the playoffs. And now it's at least plausible.
It's unlikely.
What is plausible percentage-wise? What does that mean?
12. I would have said 1%, 0.1% 3 weeks ago before this 3 out of 4 losses started. Now I'd up that to about 12%.
Is there a higher or lower than 12% chance that Debo's Eagles make the playoffs as the 11th seed right now?
Ooh, I would say that's about what the Eagles' percentage is.
All right. So there you go, Debo.
So odds, this does not include Monday Night Football, so it'll change. But they were 94%, 94.4%, but they were definitely 99% 4 weeks ago.
Oh, so they're still 94?
Yeah. I mean, they're still in really good shape. 88% to win the division. Again, this is before the Washington game on Monday Night Football, just looking at Football Outsiders. My whole point is just that if Mike McCarthy – if the Cowboys somehow don't win the division, Mike McCarthy will be on the hot seat. Or if somebody tries to hire Kellen Moore to be their head coach, Mike McCarthy may lose his job at the expense of Kellen Moore. Because I don't think Jerry Jones will let Kellen Moore walk out the door.
Well, he has a track record of not letting that happen, for sure.
Correct. So, Washington, interesting team. J.D. McKissick got back hurt. Antonio Gibson looked good in this game.
McKissick was seen walking around in the locker room after the game for what that's worth.
That's good. Terry McLaurin, they didn't use the passing game a whole lot here, but scrappy. Their defense is coming on. Scrappy offense, potential problem if you're the Dallas Cowboys.
Washington ran the ball 43 times. The Seahawks only had 43 total plays in the entire game. Like, that's how bonkers this whole thing was. Washington, time possession was over 41 minutes. It was,
by the way, this final score should have been 24-7. They blocked the extra point, ran it back, which has only been the second time in history, I believe, breach. And then they had that late drive after the touchdown was overturned that made it 17-9.
Yeah, and Joey Sly got injured on that blocked PAT that got returned by the Seahawks. Yeah. And because of that, they couldn't kick a field goal down late in the fourth quarter that would have iced the game. So instead they had to go for it. They don't score because that touchdown gets overturned on the goal line, and that's how you set up a Russell Wilson almost super comeback.
By the way, Joey Sly blew a tire trying to run down that Rasheen Green return. Mm. That is all on the kicker, I would guess, Breach. There's no reason for an extra point to be that low where it hits the guy in the stomach, basically. What's your take on the why?
Yeah, I mean, unless the Seahawks guy got so much penetration that, so it's either on the Seahawks guy who penetrates the line and walks the kick, Brinson.
He was making fun of the word.
Yeah, the tiny package.
Does he accidentally like fire up more like sexual innuendo than John Breach?
Brinson's trying. I saw it. I saw his fourth grade giggle.
Anyway, go ahead with
so it was either Sly's fault or that lineman's fault that let the guy through who blocked the kick. So, you know, you have to go back and watch the film, but it was one of them too. But even if that happens, you shouldn't have a PAT blocked. And also, I'm just shocked that Washington did not have another player on their roster who could kick a 21-yard field goal. I mean,
the punter Tressway was one of six on field goal attempts in his career.
Somebody in the I think it was Clarence G in the chat said that there's no path for the Cowboys to miss the playoffs, by the way. They have three straight road games coming up.
Well, I said last year there's a path to 9 wins. So there's a pathway is not the best thing for Pathway is not the best word to use for the Cowboys.
Three straight road games in Washington at home, Arizona at home, and then at Philly.
You just said the odds are 94%. Football Outsiders or somewhere else, Stephen O?
Football Outsiders. Probably 91% now that the Washington won.
I don't think, it won't be. I don't, it won't drop that much.
Just saying.
Clarence hating on Football Outsiders, saying there's no, it's a 0% chance.
I mean, the Cowboys need to go 2-1.
Well, we just said they're better off without Mike McCarthy, so they have a really good chance of winning this next game. And then after that, they just need one more game, according to your math, right?
Okay.
I mean, they basically do, because Washington's 5. If the Cowboys go 3-3, they're in.
Yeah,
That's what it comes down to.
Yes, if the Cowboys go 3-3, they're in the playoffs. Because they're, probably, more than likely. Yeah, 10 wins gets you in the playoffs.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That'll do it. That's a recap. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. As always, we appreciate y'all. We will see you tomorrow.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.